This is Mod Love, the show that tackles dating, mating, and relating in the modern world with your host, premier dating mentor and coach, Jody Riley, and her partner from Straight Talk with Steve, Stephen Cardinal. Also featuring Ann Wade, our soulmate expert from soulmatedance.com.
Hey out there, everybody. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love
on Mod Love Radio, or you might be listening to us on Kinetic Hi-Fi, but however you get to us, we are so glad you've joined us tonight. We have a fantastic show for you. In our feature section tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about those lies that we tell ourselves about dating. I don't know about you, Steve, but I told myself a ton of lies when I was dating.
She totally wants me. That's exactly what I kept lying to myself.
Really? She totally wants me.
She's so into me. Yes.
No. Yeah. No, I told myself all kinds of lies, but it was mainly before I moved to South Carolina, because I used to use the fact that the town that I lived in Florida was a college town. I used to use that as an excuse why there were no good men for me to date. And it was just a lie I told myself.
Because they were dating all the college girls.
Yeah.
And yet now that we're over here in Charleston and know a lot of 40 and 50 year olds, who that's who they do want to date, is the college girls.
And you know,
They're striking out.
Right. Because the college girls don't want to date the 40 and 50 year old guys.
Exactly. Occasionally they do. But there's generally
ulterior motives with
No judgment going on.
No, none at all. But we also have a couple of interesting little stories that we found on the web. And we have an interesting listener question from someone who's been cheated on. And she's kind of wanting to know how to get that trust back after you've been cheated on. So we're going to address that a little bit. And what are we talking about in Straight Talk?
Straight Talk, we're going to talk about if you hate your work, if you hate your job right now, and not just like you had a bad day, but you're continuously having bad days, how not to bring it home and how to kind of deal with it within the confines of your home.
Well, there you go.
So it's more of an advice. It's less of a ranty thing, but you had kind of suggested it to me because I didn't quite have a topic to go with. And since my work life right now is not the most glorious thing in the world, figured there are some coping mechanisms and methods of dealing with it. So, and I've been through some of those before in the past. So.
And if you hear some funny sounds in the back, we're having
a huge storm coming through.
So. Yeah.
There is some thunder and
we have no control over that
and stuff, so we'll do our best to edit some of that out. But there's just going to be some rumble back there.
It's just a nice romantic thunderstorm.
It could be nice.
Yeah, it could be nice. And in our final segment tonight,
we still don't have soulmate.
No, we're not having soulmate tonight. But we're going to talk a little bit about dealing with a breakup in a small town. And I know you lived in Boston or in and around Boston for a while, but you grew up in a small town.
Yes.
And I have lived in smaller cities, small towns my whole life. And when I say smaller cities, I mean cities kind of the size of Charleston.
Yeah, this is surprisingly small for the size of it.
Yeah. And so how do you deal with a breakup when you're living in a place that's kind of small and you're likely to run into your ex, or maybe you are running into your ex all over the place, and what do you do? So we're going to talk a little bit about that in our final segment. So lots of stuff on tap. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to pull up this first article here, which I found on FARC because I love FARC.com.
FARC is a lot of fun.
Is anybody else out there listening to FARC? I mean, are listening. Do you guys like FARC.com like I do? Because it is just awesome. And that's F-A-R-K.
Right.
Yes, since I don't always enunciate well.
And up north, of course, we would call it FARC. Because, you know, you go to FARC.com, F-A-R-K, of course. But yeah, there's lots of all sorts of – I love the headlines that they recreate for the articles, because they're a riot. You will just have a glorious time just reading the humorous titles that they come up with for some of these things. But it's all sorts of eclectic, weird
things going on. But apparently SEO-wise – You're not supposed to do that, but I love funny topics. That's why a lot of times when you see the stuff that Steve and I write on the blog, when we blog, we'll put funny titles in. You know, it's like SEO be damned. That's just kind of our thing. But anyway, this interesting little tidbit that I found on FARC was about a cop who, a guy who was out camping, I believe.
Eduardo Raul Garcia, 44.
And he got a little drunk.
And decided to make a 911 call.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite an emergency.
No, and then he hits on the dispatcher.
Right, asking her if she's single.
Yeah, talking about his big muscles.
And so they and I guess he hung up. Then he called back a few more times. So they finally ended up dispatching a police officer down there over at the park where they had traced it back to. They said, well, there is some guy who seems kind of intoxicated. Could be him. So they found this guy who was confused and easily angered. He had an open beer and a few more cold ones by his side. Doesn't talk anything about empties, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But he did then threaten the police as well, saying that he was going to headbutt and kill him. So they did have to lock him up on a $2,500 bond for battery on a law enforcement officer and misuse of the 911 system. But when he was in the car, he spit through the cage onto the back of one of the officer's heads.
Oh,
and said
poor
he would
guy.
Kill the officer. So,
yeah, no.
Guy might have been drunk. Guy might have been disturbed. All sorts of different possibilities.
And if
there,
you're drinking, guys, don't ever, you know, hitting on somebody when you're really drunk, you know, when you're really drunk, sometimes it seems like a great idea. It's never a good idea.
911 is not the number to call.
No, 911 is not. Call up was it a 1-900 number?
Right. Yes. Well, those are a little more expensive. But, hell, nowadays you can find anything you want pretty cheap online. Just,
right.
You probably got a smartphone. Just go out to RedTube or something and
Was camping. This was down in Florida. This was over near Orlando. It was down in Florida. So maybe he didn't have a good internet connection out near the campground.
Yeah, good enough connection to reach 911.
Well, that's just a phone.
I know.
But still, you know, could have been. But guys, lesson learned. If you're feeling a little amorous after you've been drinking, don't call 911 because you're probably going to get arrested.
Exactly. Especially if you're going to start hitting on the dispatcher.
Yeah, and then insulting the police officers that actually get dispatched to you because they think there's an issue. So... yeah, whatever you do, guys, don't do it.
Yeah, I think instead of doing that, maybe he should just, you know, take a few selfies while he's at the campground, then maybe do a little photoshopping of him before he puts them on his profile picture. What do you think?
Drunk photoshopping?
Why not? Why not? Well, he can wait till he's sober again, but I think updating his profile picture might be a better way of him addressing this amorous trend.
That's possible, especially if he's online, which leads us to our next article here.
I worked hard for that segue.
Yes, you did. You worked very hard. You're very good at that. I suck at segues, so it's good that one of us could at least do it. But this one was about how men feel about profile pictures of women that have been a little touched up. And it says men don't really trust women if they feel like their profile picture is not going to look like they think it's going to look. And we've talked a little bit about this. We actually did a video on whether or not you should, you know, touch up your profile pictures and, you know, using professional pictures and things like that. If you're going to make your picture unrecognizable, don't do it.
Right. I think it's one thing if, let's say, the day you show up to go have your picture taken, boom, Mr. Zit pops up and you know, you get that nasty Otis right on the side of your cheek or something like that. And maybe a little touch up
nasty
to make
what?
Otis.
I've never
Otis
heard that.
Otis is the name of a pimple. Yes.
Okay. I've never named my pimples.
When we were kids, that's what we'd call them. Oh man, you got a nasty Otis on your face.
Nice. That must be a Massachusetts thing.
It probably is. But you know, so doing a little bit of doctoring to tone that down.
Or maybe if you didn't sleep well and you got some bags under your eyes or something. But we use makeup all the time as
exactly.
women. Yeah.
Right. We are talking about women here.
Yeah.
But did I read this correctly in that even though a guy who's looking at a photo that has been touched up will say he would trust her less, he's still likely to go out on a date.
He's still likely to go meet her.
Because, hey, she's attractive, and I just want to find out because, you know, I'm assuming it's one of those things that, you know, better safe than sorry. I don't want to miss out on a really hot chick just because, you know, I mistrust her or something. But
now, and something that touching up your photos, here are some good ways to touch up your photos. Again, if you have a zit. Let's say you took the picture and your hair is all...
And
yes, you have an Otis.
You got a big old
and let's
Otis.
Say you took a picture and your hair is kind of wild and you want to just trim off some of the crazy hairs around. Sometimes your hair looks a little weird. That's different. But if you're photoshopping 10, 15 years off of yourself, that's not a good idea.
Or the tattoo of your ex-boyfriend that's on your forehead.
That's not a good idea when you arrive at the... A lot of times professionals, when they take pictures of you, if you have professional pictures done, if there's wrinkles in your clothing, they'll smooth that out so that you know your clothing doesn't look like it hangs awkward or something like that. But again, if you're shaving off 10, 15 pounds... that's probably not a good idea. If you're shaving off age and pounds or you're adding in height if you're a guy or whatever, that maybe is not the best use of Photoshop in this, because you want to make sure that somebody's going to be able to recognize you and that you're not putting yourself out there as somebody that you're not.
And yet, so, I mean, that's what we would say, right? Don't lie about yourself. And yet, to me, this study is saying that, at least as far as women to guys, a little bit of touching up, even if the guys are going to detect it, if it makes you look better, you'll still get the first date with them. And then you're going to have to obviously overcome the whole trustworthiness thing.
Yeah, which I think is a bigger deal.
But if you're trying to, but if you're not getting the dates at all, maybe you do have to kind of lie a little bit. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's what reading this study, that's what it suggests.
The guys will still go out with you.
The guys will go, if you look attractive enough, even though they can say, yeah, it's been touched up, but man, she looks hot, they're going to go out. They're still going to take that first date with you.
So as a guy, what would be the potential thought behind that? Would it be that possibly she could look like that again?
Yeah, obviously you don't know, and I'm trying to read into this study, so it's kind of hard to tell. But my guess is that, if she looks that good in the picture, yeah, all right, maybe it was touched up a little bit, but you know, maybe it was one of those things where it was a bad day, it wasn't a great photo, so they fixed it up, and she really can look that way. Like, it's not, again, getting rid of a zit says, you know, that woman is still pretty. She just happened to have a zit.
Right.
Taking 20 pounds off, you're going to see her and like, that's not her.
Right.
And unless actually you like her actually 20 pounds heavier, because there are some guys who actually prefer that. But so it really kind of depends. But my guess is that she might really be hot. I know that she's got some stuff there, but she might really be hot. I gotta find out.
Well, and I'll give you an example on the other side of women as well. I knew this one person who was a guy who had written a book, and he had this really nice professional picture done of him, because they were going to put it on the back cover of the book. But when I saw the picture, I was like, holy cow, that doesn't really look like him, because he's somebody who naturally kind of has these deep creases beneath his eyes. And they'd smoothed all of that out, and they'd smoothed out his face where he didn't look normal. I mean, he didn't look like the person that I knew that, you know, what he looked like. And this is a fairly famous person, I say somebody I knew, but, you know, I've seen him before, but it didn't look like him. And I thought, you know, if that were a online profile picture and you went to meet him in person, you'd be like, holy crap.
That's not you.
That's not you. Yeah. Because, I mean, it didn't make him look so much better. It just took care of some of those little, that, you know, he has kind of deep creases under his eyes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I'm already attracted to you, I wouldn't care if you had deep creases under your eyes. So I think for me, I was more shocked when I saw him all, you know, doctored up. And it bothered me because, again, that kind of looked like, well, you're not really being who you are. You know, you look 15 years younger.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. So, but apparently that's not a big deal for men. So,
again, apparently they can tell. Apparently it does set as far as how they judge your trustworthiness. And, if you're not going to be able to overcome that when you actually meet him, then you may have some problems, but you still may be able to get the date. So I don't know. That's a tough one, but you know, we don't try to lie with science here.
There you go.
You know, as much as we would like to say, no, never do that because it won't work for you. Apparently, you know, sometimes it can.
So lying sometimes can possibly in this case work in your favor. But I think in our next segment here, but our listener question, lying didn't really work that well.
Yeah, I think long term, I mean, you got to be, yeah. Honesty is the best policy for longer
Absolutely.
Term relationships. But if you're just trying to get the date done, you know, if that's your sole goal is getting that first date, and you're sure that once all is said and done,
your personality's going to,
will, you know, but if not,
I don't know.
All right. So let's get to this listener question. Shall I read it or shall
I? Sure, go ahead.
All right. A listener wrote in, I was cheated on and lied to a lot in my last relationship. I am finally starting to venture back out into the world and date, but I don't trust anything any man tells me. I'm always looking for the lie. How can I learn to trust again after going through what I went through?
Since we don't know all that she went through here, you know, I got to say, in this case, it doesn't really sound like she's necessarily ready to get back out there. If you're still dealing with, you know, you don't trust anybody about anything, any guy that you go out with, if he tells you, you know, I'm not married, and you maybe think he is. If you're not trusting anything the guy tells you, that might be a good indication that you've still got a little bit more work to do on you to get over the breakup.
And what does that work look like?
Well, in a lot of cases, I mean, you may want to talk to a professional. You may want to talk to a coach. You may want to talk to a therapist. But it can simply mean a lot of times kind of digging in and figuring out, okay, where is the trust? Is it really trust of other people or is it trust of myself? Because a lot of times when we talk about trust issues, oh, I don't trust men or I don't trust women, whatever. It's not so much you don't trust them, but it's a lot of times the trust is not trusting yourself to make decisions anymore. Mm-hmm. Because you made a decision that this person was somebody that you cared about and you were going out with him and he was trustworthy. And then when that proved not to be true, it's not so much you're not trusting him, you're not trusting yourself. And so a lot of times that the work that you have to do is actually doing some work on yourself and learning how to trust yourself again and reminding yourself of those times that you did make really good decisions. And sometimes digging in and figuring out, okay, exactly what did I tell myself? What belief did I allow myself to believe? And how did I throw myself under the bus in this particular scenario so that I don't do it again? That's a lot of times. But almost always when we have these quote-unquote trust issues, if you boil it down and you strip it away, it tends to be more about trust of the self more than other people, because it's not trusting yourself to make decisions about people anymore, not trusting yourself to see the signs.
Now, let's say it isn't that case. Maybe it is still a trust of men issue for this particular person. Would you advise that they say, try to just befriend a guy, you know, try to find a male friend that you can befriend without any intent of dating this person, you know, just make a new friend, but make, you know, try to see if you can make a friend with a male that you can develop a good friendly relationship to learn trust through that person?
Absolutely. That's a great idea. That's a fantastic idea. Maybe join a meetup or something that has men in it and befriend men that way. Easing yourself back into it. Right. You know, easing yourself back into the idea that, you know, not all men are going to be like my ex, because that's really what you kind of have to come to believe. Because if you're not trusting any man because of the way one man treated you, you kind of got yourself to the point where you're generalizing that all men are exactly the same. And that's not true.
Right.
In any case. So, you know, it's going to take a little bit of self-work here, figuring out exactly what the issue is. Is it really trust of other people or is it trust of self? And once you do, like you said, maybe you want to, if it is really trust of other people, maybe what you want to do is find somebody as a friend and get to the point where you can again believe and understand that all people aren't the same. And just because one person did something, the other person's not necessarily going to do it. Or if it's trust of yourself, do some work in figuring out how you're going to trust yourself. And a lot of times that becomes reminding yourself of all of the good decisions that you made. So.
And if you're actually I think that if you're finding that you are making bad decisions, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, if you're attracting the type of person who is a cheater, you need to look at what is it that you're putting out there?
Yes.
What is it that you're doing that, you know, is it the type of person that you're attracted to happens to be the type who are generally more likely to cheat or, there's a lot of times something that, you know, the person that you're attracting to you, part of that is on you. And maybe
right. Part of that is the vibe you put out. Part of that, maybe you may have a super quick trusting nature that doesn't allow you to weed out the people that might not be so honest with you. If that's the case, that's something you're going to have to change. You're not going to change anybody else. The only person you're going to be able to change is you.
Right, and and especially like in a small town like Charleston, where we start seeing who our friends and acquaintances and whatnot are dating. If you see someone, oh, she's dating. All right, she dated that guy. Ooh, he's a loser. Then he dates that guy, and damn, he's a loser. You see that a few times. It's like, I don't want to have anything to do with her because, you know, this is the type of person that she dates. I'm not even going to approach her at any point, even if I thought she was attractive, because I'm like, nah, I'm clearly not her type.
Mm-hmm.
So that can have an influence too.
Yeah, absolutely. You might actually be repelling the guys that would be really great for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway.
There you go. So what is coming up with some straight talk?
Let's get to it.
There's something going round that doesn't let me feel at ease. It's creeping like the plague. It's going to bring me down to my knees.
All right, so sometimes we are going through a phase at work where things aren't going well, and I'm not just having like a bad day or two, or, you know, there's this project that has just kind of hit a rough spot. But I mean, it is just, you know, pretty much day in, day out, you just don't like your job. You don't like what you're doing. You're coming home frustrated, and that can have a big negative impact on your family life. So if you're married or living with someone, or you have kids at home, whatever it is, there's always this danger that you might bring this stuff home with you. And so given the fact that I don't really care for my job right now, and I've been in the past gone through actually I was married to someone who did not care for her job at the time, and she was getting frustrated. The first thing that, you know, first kind of rule that we had was, you know, when you come home, allow that person to vent. So if I'm the person who's coming home from a really lousy day, you know, your loved one should give you that little bit of chance to vent, with the understanding that once you get it over, now you're back to your time again. You're back to home time with your family, with your loved ones. And your evenings, I mean, they're so precious, especially if you're spending so much time at work, to really kind of promise that, all right, I'm going to focus the rest of my night on working with the kids on their homework, or sitting down with my loved one to, I don't know, watch Game of Thrones, or whatever it is that you do to be a couple or to be a family, but to leave the work behind once you've taken care of the venting part of it. You know, because it's still going to be there tomorrow. A second, if you have a sense of humor, definitely keep it. It is such a great defensive mechanism to get through your horrible day of finding something, some absurdity, something that you can just laugh about. Next is clarify to yourself if this is a short-term or long-term issue. Short-term issues, yeah, you go through those stressful parts, a bad project, something's going on, but you get over that. But if it's a long-term issue, you just don't like your job anymore, you have to start working on an exit strategy. And it's so easy to get caught up in that, I can't change, I have a family depending on me, I have this or that. You have to sit with your family, with your loved ones, whatever, and kind of work it out. Say, how can we all together, you're not going to like me, you don't like me coming home being angry, whether it be the kids recognizing that, you know, dad's got a short fuse when he comes home, or mom is just really cranky when she gets home from a hard day, whatever it is. You kind of have to sit together as, whether it's just a couple or as a family, and say, all right, what can we do about this? How can we get you out of this job? And if you need to change careers, what's the, you know, does someone else, maybe the wife has been stay at home with the kids, and maybe she can get a few hours working somewhere just to kind of take a little bit of pressure off. Or, you know, in my case, during the marriage, I was making good enough money that my wife was able to quit her job and go back to school to become something that she actually was going to enjoy doing. It's going to be different for each family, for each couple, but working together as that team of saying you're in it together to find something, you don't want him or her coming home miserable every day. I mean, yes, there are responsibilities. You have to be able to put food on the table because you've had kids or something like that, but there's a lot of ways to address those that don't tear your soul out. And so have that communication at home. Remember that home time is recovery time and a good time to bond with each other and get the venting out, leave the work at work, and make sure it doesn't negatively affect your relationships. And that is my Straight Talk with Steve. It seems my stupid mouth is going to get me into trouble again. My charm has set the trap.
A fantastic Straight Talk, because you wouldn't believe how many relationship problems actually come out of one or the other partners having issues bringing stuff home from work or bringing outside stuff into the relationship that doesn't really have anything to do with the relationship. And I think it's a fantastic point that you make about, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, allowing, you know, if somebody's really miserable in what they're doing and they want to go do something else, allowing for that. If you possibly can.
You right, know, figure out how you can make it work. Yeah. Because, you know, it may be that, you know, again, if you have kids, you can't just quit your job and go sell T-shirts on the beach because you're probably not going to be able to put enough food on the table. But still, you have to find something that you're going to enjoy and do, and working together to come up with what that is. You know, for you and I, we have, you know, spoken about, you know, all right, so let's say I do take a job somewhere that pays less than I'm currently making now. Well, A, I've already kind of run the numbers to figure out what would I need to do, and without having to change lifestyle at all. But we can change our lifestyle. We don't have to
eat out as much.
We don't have to eat out as much. We don't have to hell, I mean, I don't want to move, but there are places you could live that are cheaper than we live right now that don't throw us so far out that we would lose all of our social connections. There's tons of different things that many people can do to change their lifestyle. So,
and I have a firm belief, and I've said this before, that what's good for one of you, especially if it's something that's so important that is going to make you happier in your position, what's good for one of you is good for both of you.
Right.
So keep that in mind. With that, we're going to have to take a quick little break. I'm going to come back. We're going to dive into some lies that we tell ourselves about dating. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love.
Hi, Jody here from Mod Love. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I just wanted to remind you all to visit our website at modloveradio.com. You'll notice that on our homepage on the right-hand side, there's a blue box. If you put your information in there, we will send you some free goodies. And while you're there, you can also watch videos, listen to episodes, subscribe to the show, or even check out our gallery of expert guests. You can also search for articles and send us your questions. Again, that web address is modloveradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to Mod Love. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love
on modloveradio.com, or you might be listening to us on Kinetic Hi-Fi. Either way, like I said before, welcome. If you're just joining us, you missed a fantastic first segment, and you need to go back and listen to that straight talk, especially if you're in a relationship, because that's a pretty important straight talk there about not bringing home all the crap from work and figuring out how to deal with all of that without bringing it home and punishing everybody around you. So definitely check out that first segment. And if you're just joining us, we're going to talk about lies that we tell ourselves about dating in this feature segment. And
a lot of these things, they're defensive things, right?
They are defensive things. Right. They're absolutely defense mechanisms because, I mean, and probably not so much you, because I don't think you sat in that place of being single as long as I did. Did you? I mean, I kind of sat in it for 6 years.
I was single quite a bit before. I was much younger, but no, once I had a serious relationship, then I had maybe a couple years off with a tiny little bit of dating, but hardly anything. Mm-hmm. Then I ended up with the woman I ended up marrying.
But you stayed single for a long time before you were in a relationship.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But since being married, then divorced, now I've not been out of a relationship for all that long.
I took about a 6 year hiatus from a relationship. And I've had three since I've lived in Charleston, two short ones, and then you.
Yep.
You're not short. No, you haven't been short.
I'm 6 foot one.
but I will say I had some defense mechanisms built in, especially when I was living down in Florida, because I struggled for a really long time. And I think part of it was expectations. You know, I had all these expectations of other people, which we all know what that leads to. And but I really did, you know, I struggled because I didn't, I think for a while I wasn't so much looking for a specific person as I was looking for someone who was not what I had broken up with. And so I really did struggle for a long time. But some of the lies that I hear,
Fortunately, we are still recording.
We are still recording.
Yes, we just had a little power blip here. Went a little crazy because of lightning, but we're not recording into the computer anymore.
That's right.
We're recording into a completely battery operated device.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look at that. We finally got something kind of right there, because that would have been a whole big reboot everything there for a minute. But yeah, so one of the things that I hear a lot now from clients and from people I deal with, and I don't know if you hear this from your male friends, but all the good ones are taken. That's what I always hear. Oh, well, you know, it's easy for you to talk because you're seeing somebody, but all the good ones are taken. And I'm like, I can count 10 men, you know, off the top of my head that are fantastic men, at least, you know, that easily would be wonderful for a woman to date.
I think the issue there is the what a single an individual person considers a good one.
Right.
Yes, there are very few of those because your tastes are very particular and your pool, because you're not considering people in Russia and Czechoslovakia and Argentina and stuff like that, because
maybe
you don't really
not
have access to them. So your pool is limited by geography, is limited by age range,
yeah.
is limited by what your own tastes are.
Well, maybe you're not even considering people 50 miles away from you. Maybe
right.
you want somebody that lives 10 miles away.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's more based on what your desires are, but also a lot of the not good ones are taken too. So
yes.
you can also look at that. Just there's a lot of people who are taken, and there's a lot of people who aren't. I mean,
well, and what I always tell people when I hear this is like, you know, so talk to me. So tell me a couple of good, really good guys that are taken that you would like to date. Then go see if that guy has friends. Because
right.
guess what? A lot of his friends are going to be very similar to
right,
him.
Right, they're going to share a lot of the same values.
Yeah. Now, do you hear this from your male friends much?
That all the good ones are taken?
Yeah.
Actually, my friends mostly don't want the good ones. They want the bad girls.
They're not really looking for relationships either, though, are they?
No.
They're looking to have fun.
Exactly. They're not looking for... I mean, that's not completely true. Well, I mean, a lot of the people that I know actually are in relationships.
Right.
And the few that I don't are mostly there by choice,
mm-hmm.
Male-wise. But, I mean, there are plenty of guys who aren't that way that we know, but they're not my circle of friends that I hang out with regularly.
Right.
The people that I hang out with regularly are either
in a relationship.
In a relationship or right now not in one and are happy with that.
Yeah. The second one there, we hear this a lot.
Especially here in Charleston,
yeah.
yes, they claim that the male to female ratio is the problem.
Right, and the women here have gotten this idea, and I know where it came from. It came from a research study that was done several years ago that there are 7 women to every man in Charleston, but that encompasses all age ranges. So you have a college here, you have a couple colleges around the area that have very young people, and there are a lot more women in college these days than men. So it skews that result. But I was doing a little messing around, you know, helping people do their profiles and stuff. And so I started looking at, so if you go online and you pull up, let's say, if you're a woman and you want to find men who are aged, let's just say 35 to 60. Let's just do a big range. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I used. When I did the same query of men looking for women in that same age range with roughly the same criteria, there were 600 more male profiles than women in Charleston. So stop telling yourself that there's no men in Charleston.
Right. There are.
There are men in Charleston. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to want to date all of them. However, do that wherever you may live. I know we have a lot of people that are listening to us out in California. Why don't you do that little study there where you live? Find out, you know, because that's a really good indication of how many single people are out there, you know? Do that. If you're a guy and you think that there are just no women in the town where you live, search online. Search on Match.com and see how many profiles pop up. If there are tons and tons and tons more male profiles than there are women, maybe you got a point. But I can almost guarantee you that it's probably not going to be that far off. So I think we have to stop blaming these statistics that may not really mean what we think they mean. And I know how you feel about statistics.
Yes, I cannot stand statistics. They lie. They're not reality. No one, you know, if the average number of people in a family is 2.1 and they have 1.2 pets, but no family has 2.1 kids and 1.2 pets. So it's not real.
This is true. However, in defense...
It's descriptive, but it is not reality.
This is true. However, I will say this, not necessarily in defense of statistics, because it's not really a defense, because I do statistics a lot, but it all is how you ask the question.
Sure.
That's what it is. It's all about how you ask the question. I mean, you can ask a question one way and get one number. You can ask the same question, but slightly different, and get a completely different number. So it's all in how you ask the question. But in this case... Stop telling yourself that there's no men or that there's no women out there that are single for you to date, because I can almost guarantee you there is, especially if you're kind of open to changing your criteria a little bit, you know? Maybe you say, okay, well, I'm not just going to try to date people 10 miles from me. Maybe I'll double that and go 20 miles out. Maybe I'll double that and go 40 miles out. Maybe I'll even go 100 miles out. That's not even that far to drive.
Or change the age range a little bit. Or change the gender. It's 21st century
now.
There
you go.
You don't have to, guys, you don't just have to go after women anymore.
It might be kind of hard to talk most men into doing that are single and heterosexual.
You never know.
You never know.
Anyway, lie number three. This is a college or a tourist town.
That's the one I used a lot when I lived in Florida.
As the excuse for...
College town, yes.
Why you weren't...
Yes, I'm not meeting any men my age because they're all dating the college girls. Now, I will say I had a little bit of evidence for this, but I took that evidence and I stretched it as far as I used that little bit of anecdotal evidence like you would not believe. There was one of my favorite little bars in the town where I lived, Tallahassee, was called Tantra. And I love this place. And some female friends and I would go there every now and again. I had wonderful drinks, but it was like some of the places here in Tallahassee, upscale drinks. You know, you're going to pay 12, 15 bucks for a cocktail, you know. And there was a reason that the 30-something-year-old women, 30s and up women went there is because, you know, the 18-year-old girls can't afford a $12 cocktail. Most of them can't. But what we found was, and one of the problems in living in a college town is that the college kids tend to take over all the really good places. So you wind up having to elbow through the 21-year-olds to get your martini. And this was one of those places where it had not gotten there to that point. And one day we looked up and we realized we were surrounded by 21, 22-year-old girls dressed in their best Sex and the City, ordering Cosmos, that they were getting the 30 and 40-year-old men to buy for them. And so it was just fun for us to kind of go sit and watch. And what was really odd was that then the 20-something-year-old guys that went there who couldn't afford the drinks either, but they had saved up like for 2 months so they could go to this one bar, were then hitting on the older women because the girls their age were paying no attention to them because they were trying to get the older guys to buy them drinks. So I had a little bit of evidence, but like I said, I took that little bit of anecdotal evidence and I used it in an unhealthy and unproductive way. So stop telling yourself, because let me tell you something, people. There are people moving into your town every day. Just because there's a lot of tourists doesn't mean there's not a lot of people that live there. Just because it's college kids doesn't mean there's not a lot of people that are not college age living there.
Right.
You might actually have to get out and try to find them. You know, they might not be the most obvious places, but they're there.
They might not be at the single bars.
There you go. The next one there is that everyone my age is married or has a family.
And obviously, the older you get, the more that is going to be the case. But obviously, it's not everyone, because there are plenty of people who are divorced. And
divorcing every day.
And depending on what age they're at, their kids may be grown up enough that, yeah, I mean, they had a family and they still have people in their lives who are family, but they're not, you know, having to pick up their kids in second grade or something like that from school. But yeah, obviously, people, that happens.
Yeah, I mean, but it again, it may be that the circle of people that you're around, a lot of them are married, and especially if you used to be married and now you're divorced. So what you might need to do is get out and make some new friends. Join a meetup, you know. Find a new circle of friends to kind of hang out and do stuff with.
Right. You know, if you're, let's say you're in your 30s and most of your friends came from the people that you work with who are maybe also in their 30s, yeah, you might be working, depending on the job you're in, you might be in kind of an industry that, you know, has a lot of, you know, career path kind of thing, which people who have settled down tend to take. Yeah, then those may not be the people that you should be hanging out with if you're trying to find single folks to hang out with.
Right, right. There you go. So in this case, if this is what you're telling yourself, and what you might want to do is find a new group of people to hang out with, find some new friends, yep. you know, expand your horizons, join a meetup, join a, you know, if meetup's not very big in your town, maybe join a new gym, you know, right. figure out ways that you can get out there and meet new people.
Yeah. I think typically there where you say everyone my age is married, what you really mean by everyone is everyone who you're already friends with.
Right.
Which may very well be the case, but there's tons of people that you aren't currently friends with who don't meet that I am married with a family criteria. So go meet new friends. The next one, all divorced men have drama.
Now, I've heard this from a lot of women, and I don't know if it's the same necessarily for men. I don't think men consider women that are divorced have a lot of drama. But for some reason, a lot of women that I talk to, they believe that a lot of times divorced men have a lot of drama with exes or that sort of thing, and they kind of want to stay away from divorced men that have drama. And so if you're, especially
it probably depends
when
on how soon the divorce has been, because there is,
this
I mean,
is true.
In general, the legal system is still weighted against men when it comes to divorces. Even though women are now in the workforce a lot more, the laws are still in most states written such that women will get a lot more access to financial support and whatnot than a man will have.
I think custody issues, at least here in South Carolina, are still geared sort of leaning in favor of women as well.
Right. So anytime you have that battle over assets and children, yeah, that's drama. So I can certainly understand why you as a single person who's looking to date someone may say, you know what, he's just out of his divorce or he's going through his divorce or whatever. There's a likelihood that there is still fighting going on, especially if there are kids and trying to, you know, deal with getting access to who has them this weekend or that weekend or whatever, that you may not feel comfortable with dealing with. But if they've been divorced for, you know, 10 years perhaps, the likelihood that there's still some people who will always have drama like that, but mm-hmm. a lot of that will go away. So depending on how long it's been that since they've been divorced, that may not necessarily be the case, but it certainly doesn't mean that all men who are divorced have drama. May have had it for a little while.
And I think anytime you do this thing where you generalize, like the everyone and the alls and things like that, you set yourself up because, of course, not everyone is right. going to meet that criteria.
You give your excuse for not getting, oh, yeah, it's not me.
Yeah, yeah, it's not me. It's everyone else. It's not me. It's all the men out there that just have all the drama, which kind of leads us to the next one, which I hear from a lot of men, is that all women are crazy and dramatic.
Well, this is true.
Oh, come on.
I joke.
Whatever.
I think from a
man's... You like my crazy.
From a man's point of view, mostly because I think men and women are different. This just in. We approach things differently. We, you know, process things. We deal with our emotions differently. And so I think there's a lack of understanding really what the other person is going through. And so because we don't understand it, we label it as crazy. So, mm-hmm. but the same thing goes toward, you know, from women to men. They don't understand
right.
how a man thinks and processes stuff and reaches the decision he reaches. So it's not the way I would do it. So he must be crazy. And, you know, obviously we allow the media to say, you know, men are stupid and women are crazy. That's kind of what the media tells us all the time,
yeah.
which is a lot of BS. Stop listening to it, but that's,
stop buying into the media hype.
Exactly. It's, you know, all the look at a sitcom. That's what it's all about. The dumb husband, the super smart but maybe bitchy or crazy wife, and so many of them are like that. And
yeah.
that's where they get their laughs from.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Here in real life, it's not a boon to us to develop good relationships, to just treat each other as crazy because it takes work to understand what another person feels. Yeah,
and also with the dramatic thing, I think, this is, you know, because part of this was all women are either crazy or they're really dramatic. I think sometimes any show of emotion that we don't understand is considered, oh my God, that's so dramatic. You know, you're so dramatic about everything, but it's just emotion.
Right.
People show emotion.
And if you're as a guy who you don't do a lot of emotion, yeah, it's very different from how you would process it. So that's a lot more dramatic than your way of handling it. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but it's also just an outward expression of what's going on inside. And if you're not letting what's going on inside come out, all your drama is in your head.
Right. So any show of emotion or any show of doing something differently than you would do or behaving differently is not necessarily crazy and dramatic, but sometimes it's just different. However, you need to be able to distinguish between the two. And which, again, you know, it's a learning curve. You just kind of, you got to learn your way through it. It's a skill set.
The last lie we tell ourselves about dating, the manner players.
I have one more after this, believe it or
not.
Oh,
you do?
I do. It's not on there, but it's in my head.
Oh, you are getting a bonus lie.
You are getting a bonus lie. Right. But yes, women tell themselves that all men are players. Again, it's this generalization. Maybe you met a player. Maybe you met a cheater. Maybe you met a liar. But just because you had that experience doesn't mean that every man you meet is going to be that way. Right. There are some guys out there that want to play. That's okay.
And that's their choice. And as long as you understand that is, you know, and there are plenty of men who will be upfront and honest about it. Believe them when they say, nope, I'm not interested in that. And if that doesn't work for you, don't try to jump in and see if you can change them or, you know, once they get to know me, they will just fall in love and will never want anyone else. You're fooling yourself and you're setting yourself up because they said right up front, this is where I'm at right now. You know, certainly for, let's say a man who's been divorced, you know, married for 15 or 20 years and just got divorced, he may want to, you know, kind of, you know, play the field a little bit and kind of, you know, hasn't had, you know, chocolate for 20 years. And now he wants to try white chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, the whole nine yards and kind of get a feel for what he really likes. That's his choice. And as long as you understand that, well, I ain't no piece of chocolate, you're going to have to, you know, settle down for some, I don't know, the analogy is completely lost now. I've blown it, but...
Caramel. You're
going
to have to settle down for some caramel.
Right. Then, you know, just say no to the chocolate guy.
Well, and I think, too, that in this case, if a guy is looking to do that, he needs to be really upfront about it. He doesn't need to put on his profile, I'm looking for a relationship, if what he's really looking for is to date.
Right. Because then, guys, all you're going to be doing is duping people. You're lying to them to get them... to, you know, basically you're presenting yourself falsely. You're saying that, hey, I'm going to give you this just purely because you want to maybe get them into bed. And then once you've done that, you're like, yeah, no, that is a player. And that's not the cool way to do it. And that's asking for drama.
Yes.
You don't want drama in your life. Be honest up front. You will have people that, yes, you want to sleep with them and they will say, no, I'm not interested in that. That's the way it is. That's tough, you know, tough for you. You'll have to just kind of, you're narrowing down your pool.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what you're doing.
And the bonus.
The bonus one that I do not know what it is.
You do not know what it is. Women are gold diggers.
There you go.
There you go. And it kind of goes along with the men are players. You know, women are gold diggers. And here's the deal. If you offer to take a woman out for dinner and you offer to pay for a lot of expensive stuff and she says, okay, that doesn't make her a gold digger. Here's what a gold digger does. A gold digger seeks someone out who has a lot of money and uses them for that money. Now, if you've offered everything up and she just says yes, that doesn't make her a gold digger.
Right. That's just...
Yes.
You control that. You control your own purse strings, buddy.
Right. And women... And again, it's this generalization. Not every woman is going to be looking for monetary gain. And not every woman's going to look for you to take her out to expensive dinners. And not every woman's going to look for you to fly her off to Europe in your private jet. Not every woman's going to be interested in that. But if you're setting yourself up and leading with the money, you might actually be the kind of person that's going to attract that. So check yourself. But all women are not gold diggers, just like all men are not players. You know, it's again, it's that generalization. We start getting into those generalizations of people. That's where we get into trouble. So we have to really pay attention to that. So those right there are the eight huge lies that people tell themselves while they're dating. And with that, we're going to have to take another quick little break. When we come back, what is it we're going to talk about there?
We're going to have a quick one because we are running out of time, but the post-breakup no-fly zone.
Talking about how to deal with breaking up when you live in a small town. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love.
So upset, he cried to her with whiskey on his breath.
This is Stephen Cardinal of Mod Love, and if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to head out to iTunes and leave us a review. Doing so will really help us reach more people and touch more lives. And if you're not an iTunes user, even a review on our Facebook page will go a long way in showing your support. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love
here on modloveradio.com. And if you are just joining us, it's our last segment. It's going to be a little bit of a shortened segment, but it's actually going to be about something that kind of comes up often when people are dealing with breakups. And if you've been somebody who lives in a small town, and I know a lot of people that listen to us probably are living in areas that are kind of small, or at least in communities that are small enough that after they've had a breakup, it's very likely that they're going to run into their ex where they go. So I, you know, and a lot of people disagree with me about this, but I kind of believe in the idea of kind of going full no contact for a while after you've had a pretty, and it doesn't even have to be a bad breakup. Sometimes it can be a breakup that was really significant. Sometimes you just need to be away from that person. You're not texting them. You're not calling them. You're not meeting for drinks. You're not trying to be friends. Friendly if you happen to see each other at the grocery store, but not trying to be friends. And where you're actually, you really don't have any contact with that person. Now, I don't know if that's something that you've experienced or
I think it's beneficial. I think it's not always easy to do, depending on how the breakup, you know, happened. There's always this feeling like I need some closure, which is doesn't, I don't think most of
you
the time.
You give yourself closure. Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't actually exist. It's just something you have to process. You think that, you know, if we get together and talk about it one more time, somehow someone's going to say some magic words that will make it feel all right and you can move on. And there are no magic words because they don't really exist. I mean, you're broken up. So I think it is smarter to say, it's in my best interest, my emotional health, to just completely avoid this person. You know, delete phone book. You know, delete them from your phone.
Get them off of Facebook.
Do that whole thing. Go back, hit the gym, start working on yourself.
Get a therapist. Get a coach.
Lawyer up.
Call a friend. Whatever you need to do. But so one of the things that I have always said is a really good idea is to kind of establish what I refer to as these breakup no-fly zones. So if you had a particular restaurant that you guys loved, you had particular places that you went together as a couple, even if that other person's not going there, sometimes it's a good idea to kind of stay away from those because of the memories.
Right. We're just trying to keep digging it up. It's like picking up that scab.
Stop picking the scab. So, you know, there might be places that you want to at least give yourself 3 to 6 months to just not go there. Don't go to that coffee shop you know they go to every morning. I laugh and joke and say, you know, after I had a breakup several years ago back in 2004, I sit in an entire section of town that I lived in to my ex because I didn't want to have to deal. So I didn't go to the grocery store that was closest to me. I drove about a mile further to go to a different grocery store in the other way. I didn't go to the restaurants that were closest to me. I went to other restaurants because I wanted no contact and I didn't want to run into him and I didn't want to know if he was dating anybody else. I didn't want to deal with all that. So I had this no-fly zone that I just didn't go to and it didn't kill me. And now if you're somebody who likes a lot of drama and you want to run into him, well, then that's a whole different thing. But if you really, really want some, you know, some peace and not have to deal with it, establish these places that maybe you're not going to go. You know, put in, and as I called it, I had an article that I wrote for Soulmate Dance where I talked about the no-fly zones and I said kind of a battle plan for sanity. You know, put together a plan of places that you're not really going to go. The other thing that I've noticed too is that now with Meetup and Facebook and things like that, there are a lot of events that come out. And I didn't really mention this in this particular, this article, but if you see an event that your ex is already going to go to, maybe it's a good idea just not to go to that event.
Right. And yes, it's not fair that I don't get to go to these things. You're doing it for yourself.
You're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself.
Sometimes it's the whole, maybe a pride thing. Like, I'm not going to change this and that. You're doing this for yourself, not for them. It's not this is purely for yourself, and give yourself a break and say, you know what, I won't do it this because it's going to be better for me not to go this year.
And as we mentioned when we were talking about in the first segment, you know, about with the, you know, finding new people to kind of hang out with. In fact, maybe this is a really good time to find new social circles to kind of hang out with, especially if your ex, I had this one friend of mine who, when she got divorced, her ex was one of these people that was just huge in all these big circles. She found other circles to hang out in. So maybe that's what you need to do. Find new friends, new people to hang out with. Stop going to all of those old places and really save yourself a lot of heartache in the end. So that's all I got to say about that.
And I think that's about all our time.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. But don't go away well, I said don't go away.
If you're listening on Kinetic Hi-Fi Live right now, then yes, don't go away.
Yeah, don't
go
away.
There's a great show coming up next. But if you're listening on podcast, another week before our next episode. But if you haven't caught up on the earlier episodes, certainly go back, go through the library.
Yeah, go out to modloveradio.com and click on the episodes button and or listen and then episodes, and it'll take in all the episodes to catch up on any you might have missed. Thanks so much, guys, for listening every week, and you have been listening to
Mod Love.